You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. Oh, joins us now. Jensen, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me. And boy, hell of a weekend there north of the border. A lot of offensive firepower on display for sure.
I have to chuckle. I was seeing in New York that the theory is that somehow Toronto's cheating. Like, that's when you know you're desperate, when the fans and everybody's starting to come up with, well, they're cheating. The Jays had the most hits, the best batting average all year long. And I think they were 10th or 11th in home runs. Like, they've been a pretty good hitting team all year long.
And remarkable too, right? To see the ability to take advantage of nearly every mistake, right? And I chuckled too, seeing that the kettle is awfully black there for some of the New York fans, considering what their allegations have been in years past about sign stealing and whatnot. So, hey, to each their own. The bottom line is it's about putting up the runs and about doing damage. And I think that's what I circle most importantly here is we're used to seeing, you know, the Yankees be that team that just bludgeons people with the home run ball. Yeah. It's been the Jays, and it's not just one guy, right? Of course, Vladdy with, you know, the big grand slam, but Varsho has been amazing. And George Springer for the entirety of the year when he's been healthy has been phenomenal in the slug. I mean, you don't score 20 consecutive runs before you give up a run, you know, the way that Toronto does, unless you're doing things right. So in soccer, they call it the most dangerous lead, 2-0, right? So you got to be able to finish it off here. And you got the right guy in Shane Bieber going tomorrow. So excited to see what Biebs is able to do in what will likely be a very tense and nervous Yankee Stadium.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think it would be very intense. Look at the pitching matchup. You know, if you're a pitcher, how would you approach this Jays lineup? If you're O'Don, what are you doing?
Out number one is huge, right? You want to keep guys off the base paths in front of the middle of that lineup. And that's why I kind of, you know, went through it's the depth right now of it's 1 through 9. It's not just two guys that are just bashing you in the middle. And what a luxury to have, you know, Anthony Santander come back and you can hit him in the bottom third there. You know, we're used to seeing him so often for his days in Baltimore. He's hitting third or fourth there. So to lengthen the lineup in the postseason, such a key leverage point. Second of all, you talked about the balls in play, and that is always the scariest part in the postseason. The more balls in play, the more chances for damage, and that's what Toronto has done really well. If you're Carlos Rodon, you have got to be able to generate some swing and miss early, and kind of the MO, Jason, this postseason has been when teams score first, I believe they're 11-6, so it kind of bears out here. You get the early lead. It has really turned out well. So if I'm the Yankees, you got to find a way to get a quick 1-2-3 top of the first and get to Bieber early.
Jensen Lewis joins us, former MLB player, MLB analyst. And, you know, the Jays, all this sitting without the guy who was really their best contact hitter all year long, and Bo Bichette is even more impressive. Although Varsho's numbers, if you would have prorated them to a full season, he was having an unreal year. Like, his home run power, and I'm watching, like, especially in game two, Jensen, like, every hit, like triple, well, I know it wasn't triple, whatever, the two doubles, the two home runs, like he had contact and he looked so poised in the box. That's the thing. It's almost like the Jays hitters, I'm not going to say they knew what was, but they were right on it. Like, they weren't just getting lucky hits. Like, they were bombing balls all over the place.
And that, just from a psyche standpoint, is something as a pitcher too, on the opposite side of, what do we do? Like, anything we throw up there, it doesn't matter. They're crushing it. This is almost bonus points now here for the Jays. I believe teams since 2016 going up 2-0 in the LDS round, the last 18 times that's happened, 17 have gone on to win the series, and 11 of those teams have gone on to complete the sweep. So if you're looking for more things to embolden yourself as a Jays fan, those are some pretty stark numbers. So that, coupled with you get this extra time here, if you end it, to potentially have Bo continue the rehab, and we'll see what happens if you end up clinching that LCS berth. But you're right. It is up and down, and it's the variety of ways that the Jays offense has been able to take advantage of not just a handful of Yankee pitchers, but pretty much everyone that's taken them out.
Jensen, you made your pitching debut at the age of 23 in the majors with Cleveland. And, you know, I'm sure it was pretty exciting for you. Then you go in, here's a young guy, Treya Savage, who was starting in single A this year. And here he is in the playoffs in game two and his performance as a pitcher, you must have been like, what the hell is going on here? Like, you know how hard it is to pitch and you know how hard it is to make a good hitting team look like they have like they have no clue. They had no answer. 10 Ks in the first four innings. It was wild.
A very similar path here for young Trey and a young J-Lew way back in the 2007 days. So my path too, I was in Double A to start the year that year and then ended up getting into the big leagues the day after the All-Star break and ended up being a setup guy there for our run into the postseason and route to the LCS. And so kind of seeing where Trey was and the growth and, you know, what he's been able to do from not only just a developmental standpoint, but I think the greatest thing is that you've got John Schneider, you've got a coaching staff, Mark Shapiro, Ross Atkins, that had the confidence to not only put him on the roster, but to give him a guaranteed start and early in the series. And that takes a lot from not only the talent level, you got to be, you know, that good to be able to go against a Yankee lineup. But I think it's more so the character of the player. And you saw his teammates react the way that to me was the most ringing endorsement. Is not only do they love the dude, the guy is savage, right? He's nasty. I mean, you see some of the swing and misses from some really good hitters. And, you know, the depth and the down angle he has on the split. And then to have mid to high 90s heat, I mean, it's really, really tough to cover north and south there. So performance for the ages, one he certainly will never forget. It was great seeing the shots of his family. Shout out to Sportsnet, too. I really loved watching all the panoramics and the sights and seeing the sounds of it. It was really well produced. So, hey, that is a great debut. Now the hard part is following it up. Oh, whenever he gets another opportunity to do it, you hope it's not a game five. You hope it's in the league championship series with an opportunity to win another star.
Well, and you look at, you talked about just the images you saw, the camera angle they had on Vladimir Guerrero's home run.
Yes.
Such a great visual. The pitch is coming in and how he hits it. And like right off the bat, like I'm sure you've been a pitcher and you've probably given up one where you're like, oh, that's gone. Like, you know, the minute it's gone. Right. So it's, and then the hitter knows the second it's gone. And that, like, I couldn't imagine what that's, I'm sure it's like you strike out a guy at a huge moment of the game. For a pitcher, that's the similar feeling of hitting a home run that's a no-doubter and place goes bananas.
Yeah, the irony, it was Vladdy's dad, Vladdy Sr., when he was at the Angels. It was a day game in Anaheim. I threw a changeup that I thought was in the left-handed batter's box, and as we all know, Vladdy Sr. will swing at pretty much anything, and he hit into the mountain there in center field that they've got there at Angel Stadium. So, yeah, I know that one all too well. So there's your 6 degrees of separation from Vladdy Jr. there, Vladdy Sr. But you're right. I mean, when you think about just the atmosphere in and of itself, and my first career save was then Sky Dome, right, you know, up there. And, okay. And I think what was unique is even, you know, you look at regular season games, it's still a pretty hostile environment, still an intimidating place to be able to go in and try and win. And, you know, covering the Indians for as many years as I had after my playing career, the 2016 postseason in the LCS there between Cleveland and Toronto. Jason, I get goosebumps thinking about it because you just remember what it's like to compete. And that's the ultimate feeling is, you know, 55,000 breathing down your neck, man. And you just want to rise to the moment. And to kind of give you a long-winded answer, I was so incredibly impressed with not only Trey Savage just from the pitch execution, but the demeanor to have the calm and the poise to execute. And yes, you got the big lead, but that almost is harder to pitch through just because, you know, you've got to stay there. You don't want that team to be able to try and mount a comeback.
Can you explain the rationale, the feeling for a relief guy? Relief guys, you know what? They're used to going every second day, sometimes 3 days in a row, depending, whatever. They had almost a week off, right? And then some guys came in yesterday. They're up big time. It's 12-0. I know everyone's like, oh, yeah, okay, it's a low-pressure situation. But I wonder sometimes it's like, God, maybe that's worse because a few of the guys got lit up. And I don't know if the Yankees, if that carries over at all. But do you think it was still wise to do that? Because you don't want your relief guys, because they could have kept you Savage in there easily, right? I think it was only at 78 pitches. You could have kept him going if you wanted to. He was pitching great. But you wanted guys to at least get their arm in. Can you talk about that relief mentality and just how much better it is physically to get in a game, even if you don't have your best stuff?
Yeah, you want the routine for sure. And as far as Trey getting taken out, I think the long game there Toronto feels like not only are they positioned to advance to the next round, but ultimately you want, you know, another handful of starts and availability for Trey Savage as you move forward. So I completely understood that, at least from that standpoint. Relief guys, and especially your big guns, you don't want in the postseason to go, you know, a couple of days without some work here. And sometimes you can't really dictate that because of how the off days fall. But as it pertained to game two, yeah, some guys get hit around a little bit. And I think there might be a little bit of carryover from the Yankee psyche in that, okay, it wasn't a complete bludgeoning. Like, we got blown out. We had no chance. You will take at least some of the positive because you have to. I mean, yes, your season's on the line tomorrow. So I think the other part of it is looking at the season series. And, you know, the Yankees did really well. Won 4-6 there against the Jays at Yankee Stadium. I believe outscored them by a 26-18 margin there.
Yeah.
What you have to do is just take it inning by inning. And if I'm Shane Bieber too, you know full well that offense is going to have a sense of urgency. They're going to try and get an early lead so you can exploit that. But if you're Toronto, just keep doing the same things and collect outs. You know, it's not about getting to the ninth. It's about getting to the third inning. It's about turning the lineup over that second time. Just collect outs, man. And the smaller and shorter you can keep your mind in the moment, I think that's where the good clubs are. And, you know, hey, if you're Toronto sitting there right now, you get an early lead, that's all the extra pressure you'll need to add to a team in New York that's already feeling it right now.
Jensen Lewis joins us, former MLB pitcher, MLB analyst. The Seattle-Detroit series, hell of a series, two very close games. And, man, you look, obviously Seattle had to win game two, but especially who they beat. I know he didn't get the loss, but, you know, anytime you can take out their ace and not get a loss in that game, that's huge for them. How do you see this series now, which is a best of three?
Yeah, and house money for Detroit yesterday, an opportunity to go up 2-0 and I think even more resilient, their offense, which has found late inning magic a lot to kind of be able to force that tie in the eighth inning. You're thinking, oh man, do they end up stealing it here when Polanco has the two homers against Skubal? But that's when your stars got to be stars, right? Cal Raleigh, I think, should be the MVP, ends up with the double. And then Julio Rodriguez, a big postseason moment for him with the go ahead and game winning RBI. That back end of the bullpen is nasty. I mean, Seattle can swing and miss with the best of them as far as their starters or their relievers. Fascinated to see tomorrow afternoon with Logan Gilbert and Jack Flaherty. And if Flaherty has shown an ability to really rise to the occasion as well, and he's going to need it because I think Seattle, if you look back, the last time they played each other, the only series they played in Detroit this year, was right at the end of the first half. It was a three-game sweep by Seattle, and they scored 35 runs in three games. I mean, it was just a pasting of the Detroit pitching staff. Now, a lot has happened since then, and this is the postseason, but that's something to factor in. Also, Logan Gilbert, who will start for the Mariners, has had really, really stark home and road splits. I think it's a sub-2.5 ERA at home and almost a 5 ERA on the road. So if you're looking to hang your hat on something for the Detroit Tigers, Logan Gilbert has shown a bit of a struggle away from T-Mobile, and I think that's something that will play into A.J. Hinch and how quickly he wants to get to his bullpen, even with the day off. I think he's going to want to try and get as much length out of Jack Flaherty, just like he did in that wild card game against Cleveland.
Looking to the National League tonight, what's the storylines you look for? It's kind of unique. You play one game, then you get a day off. I don't know if that benefits anybody or not, but what do you make of those two series, that, you know, the Cubbies and the Phillies looking to rebound?
I looked at the off day for in between game one and game two as a huge advantage for Dave Roberts and the Dodger pen, because he could extend a Tyler Glasnow or Roky Sasaki with the benefit of the off day. They'll have that same benefit being off tomorrow, traveling back to Chavez Ravine. A historical note that is kind of crazy to think about. The Phillies are 0-8 all time in their postseason franchise history when they lose game one of a division series. Wow. And that in and of itself, I think is pretty stark considering the pedigree of what they had. I do think Philadelphia wins tonight, though. I do think it is a lower scoring game. I think you kind of get back to Blake Snell generating some swing and miss. Jesus Luzardo, last time he was in the postseason, the irony of ironies here, he was a starting pitcher for the Miami Marlins in Citizens Bank Park against the Philadelphia Phillies. He'll take the ball for hometown Philadelphia tonight. I think if you're going to be successful against Blake Snell, there is an exercise in patience and not allowing him to rack up a lot of quick strikeouts. So if he's kind of moving early, bad news for Philly. To me, I'm looking for them to have a little bit of patience and try and strike if his command is a little off kilter.
Lastly, and I really appreciate your time, Jensen, when you look at the matchup heading in for Toronto, and let's say they lose game three, and you know they're projected as a game four bullpen start, although I think by the rules, there could be an injury where you're able to activate one of your starters. And, you know, because he came in yesterday, Brulee pitched an inning. Oh, geez, now he's got some muscle soreness. Like, do you think they'd actually go with the bullpen start, or could you see an injury and that allows them to activate one of Scherzer or Bassett for game four?
Yeah, I think they probably tackle that after tomorrow night. And, you know, again, you best laid plans, you know, until something does happen. So I think they need to understand the workload that they'll get out of Bieber and the assets that they'll have to use to get through win or lose tomorrow. Obviously, easy answer, you win, and then you can kind of take a stock in what you felt like and potentially make some alterations to that league championship roster. If it is one where, you know, Biebs kind of gets touched up early and it's a lot of resources, then yeah, maybe you see some gamesmanship there. But I got to believe John Schneider, they don't want the Yankees coming up for air whatsoever. This is full pedal to the metal. Let's try and blow them out early. Let's get into that Yankee bullpen and then really, really put the screws to them.
Yeah, they have to for sure. Jensen, great stuff, man. We'll look forward to talking throughout the playoffs. Thanks so much for your time.
You got it. Thanks, Jason.
There you go. That's Jensen Lewis.